Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Game Spoilers.
Sorry.
Oh, what happened?
Everybody.
I heard that too.
Everybody.
Hang on.
Rock your body.
Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Game Spoilers podcast. My name is Jeremy. Joining me always next to me is Kerry Palmer.
I'm always next to you.
I mean, yeah. And June Williams.
Hello.
And joining us, very special guest for today, is me. It's Ollie Verstegen. Verstegen?
That's me, yep. Verstegen.
Yay! Yes.
I'm very special.
Ollie.
But only today.
Yeah.
Oh, take what I can get.
Ollie studied with us and graduated with us
mm-hmm.
at the AIE, and is the only one of us that is still doing game dev after the graduation. So,
well done.
Welcome.
I do what I can.
Give me a 20-second introduction about you as a person.
A person?
And what games you like.
What is your elevator pitch?
I want 30 seconds.
Pitch me
starting
you.
From...
Now.
Now.
So I'm a bit older than all you folks. So before video games, I was a circus performer. I've been around Australia and a bit around the world doing that, but decided one day that I just wanted to stop doing that and make video games instead. And that's what I've been doing the past few years.
Great.
What's your favorite game?
I have many. Portal's one of them. There's
Ooh.
Also Braid.
Ooh.
But it depends on the genre. It depends on... I'll have lots of favorite games to show people, but it depends on what you like. It depends on you.
If I never played video games before, ever, what would you show me?
Never ever.
Never ever.
Not even like when you're a kid.
What's a video game?
What's Snake?
I'd start easy. I've never come across somebody who's made that request of me before.
Dwarf Fortress.
That's a bad choice.
Surely the answer's like Tetris or something like that. Like, who would you?
No, alright, so pretend I am like a parent who has never played a video game before and doesn't know that video games can be actually really cool and not just guns.
How about, yeah, exactly, something like that. That's not just like Fortnite.
Maybe one of the Jackbox games. Maybe something to ease you into the idea of games as a concept more than just games as guns.
Right.
I like that.
Okay.
I like that
cool.
answer. You pass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was a bit longer than 30 seconds, though.
Sorry.
No, wasn't, the elevator pitch was 20 seconds.
All right.
And then the next question came.
The follow-up.
Yeah. Great. Okay, so...
Thank you for joining us.
Yes, welcome.
It's a pleasure.
Today, we are talking about the last day of...
Sorry.
Is everything okay over there? What did I say wrong this time?
No, it was me. Go on, sorry.
Everything alright?
I'm in the flow. Everything's fine.
Everything okay, everybody? today, we are talking about a game called The Last Day of June.
Oh my God.
I'm getting there.
You're so rusty.
I'm just warming up, you know? I just got to feel it. Last day of
feeling
June.
Feeling it.
Last day of June.
Ollie recommended this game.
Recommended this game without... me actually asking him to be on this podcast, but that's fine. That was just scheduling.
Oh yeah, weren't you meant to be on the last one, and then we got to that time, and you didn't know that was...
No, we're
happening.
Very organized and professional.
No, it wasn't meant to be the last one. It was meant to be on this one, but I just forgot to bring it up.
It was pitched to me in a way that did not seem like, hey, do you want to be on this? More as,
yeah,
hey, what should we play on this podcast we do without you?
It's because I pitched you being on this episode without specifically mentioning you being on the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
It all worked out.
Yeah. You're
here. Born to be kings. I don't know the next lyric.
Okay. Last Day of June is developed by Ovo Sonico, which I believe is...
Go on.
Ovo is egg.
Yeah, that's why there's
Sonico
a picture
is that big boobed anime character.
Sonic.
Super Sonico.
Oh, that one.
Super Sonico.
That
yeah.
one big
Super
boobed
Sonico.
Anime character.
They make like a whole bunch of figurines and stuff. I'm not talking about Super Sonico on this podcast. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I bring up anime and like gay stuff every time.
I'm sure this isn't just like Super Sonic.
Oh my
DVD
goodness.
Yeah.
All the figurines are like very busty. Hang
those on. Are no clothes.
Is it Sonico the Hedgehog?
Holy dooly.
I believe... Yeah, they are... This is an Italian studio.
Yes, that makes sense with all of the names that are in the credits.
Like Carl. And June. Yeah, so...
There's the characters, not credits.
I know. Their names are in there too, though. Yeah, so... Also published by 505 Games.
What do they publish?
Yeah, I had that feeling. Yeah. I had that thought as well. I was like, hey, I know them for nothing that I can remember right now.
They're like a solid AA publisher, aren't they?
I think you would call them that.
I'm going to give you a Terraria, Payday 2, Portal Knights, Abzu. Oh.
I've played all of those games.
I like Abzu.
Those are great games.
Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
Mm-hmm. I've played that one.
Ooh, Laser League.
I have that one. I haven't played it.
Control?
Overkill's The Walking Dead. Oh, they're publishing it. That's why I know them. They're 83.
Cooking
Control.
Mama? Cooking Mama? Naughty Bear.
Oh, no.
They did Naughty Bear around. That's how you know it's a bad game.
What a mixed bag.
Also, 505 is Italian, so who knew?
There you go. I'm sure 505 knew. The Italians knew.
I'm sure they do.
All of them.
All of them. We all know. It's just a World Cup secret.
I thought you said World Cup secret.
That's a sore spot, Kerry. So, Kerry, you are taking the reins on the story,
I guess,
of
so.
The game. So,
can I tell you why I brought this to you first?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Isn't it just that you got it in Humble Monthly?
It helped.
Well, that's where it came from. That's where most of my games come from these days.
Yes, but this was your suggestion. Why was that?
So this is a game I got sometime last year. I don't remember, but I played through it. In one setting, it's not a super long game. I didn't bring it to you because I thought this was a super fantastic game. I think it has good stuff in it, but also there's bad stuff in it. There's at least one particular moment that just hit me the wrong way and kind of pulled me out of it a bit. But it's enough of a mix that I felt like it deserved a discussion, and I wanted to have that with you.
Right. Great. Cool. Awesome. Sounds good. I'm glad you thought of us.
Yes.
You should bring up, while Kerry's doing the story recap, what part that is, so we can keep going from there to see.
I'm sure he remembers what.
Yeah, no, yeah, I mean as in, like, interrupt when that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so this is my...
It's not so much story as gameplay stuff.
Okay, then.
All right. I suppose it ties together.
Okay, so I'm gonna try and keep this concise somehow. So, I'm looking at the timer and
go.
Last Day of June is a game that's like Groundhog Day, except it's more like Groundhog Hour. You start with a couple, and they go down to the pier, and it's all nice and lovely, and it starts to rain, and they leave, and there's a car accident on the way, and the lady of the couple dies, and the man is paralyzed from the car crash. It's very sad. And then the man finds old drawings that lady has done. Lady who was called June. I think the man's called Carl.
Yes.
And he finds June's paintings. And when he touches them, he like goes back in time. And he can try and change the events surrounding the thing that made the crash happen to try and save June's life. And he tries doing that for a couple of hours, and every time he thinks he's done it, and something else makes the car crash instead, and he can't stop it, and he gets really frustrated. And in the end, the only way he can stop it is by swapping places with June, and then June lives, and he dies at the end, and she has a child.
Yeah.
Who wears the same glasses that he does. That's the plot. That is beginning and end.
This really is game spoilers.
Yeah.
Nice. That's just... Bam.
All the revelations. Took less than 2 minutes.
It's impressive.
Do you want to briefly touch on the characters that you...
Yeah, no, that's a good idea, yeah. So, there's four characters in the town that you play as, outside of Carl and June. There's the little boy with the soccer ball.
Little kid, I've got him as.
Little kid, yep. There's the best friend, who's the lady who has a crush on Carl and is leaving because...
Yep.
I did not get the impression that they were friends.
I got neighbor seems to love bald guy. I've got her as.
Yep.
I want to talk. Remind me to talk about that.
Okay.
Homewrecker.
No, she's not a homewrecker.
I know,
because she just wrecked her own home because she couldn't live there anymore because she was too sad.
Yeah.
There's the man with the mustache. Hunter from Jumanji.
Hunter.
Yeah.
From Jumanji.
Yeah, yes. My favorite character just because of his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a cute confetti toy gun that his father gave him, and a complicated history with living up to expectations. I remember that a lot. Clearly, apparently. And a dog. He's got a dog as well.
I wish the dog had a name. Why didn't they give that a name?
They didn't. I don't think they gave any of those supporting characters a name.
No.
And then there's old puppy grandpa, who's just sort of...
Old man.
Yeah, old man around the town. Looks after the young boy. Sort of keeps him in check and plays with him if he wants to and stuff like that.
And young boy...
He's lived there forever.
Young boy that seems to have no parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I thought that he was like, because...
He's got grandparents.
In one of the memories, you see, like, before you see the next memory, you see, like, a crib and stuff like that. It's like, I thought, oh, that's the kid of Jean and Carl, obviously.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not, he just lives there on top of the house.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just in his, like, little
in his treehouse.
Secret hideout. Yeah.
It only has three walls.
The other thing I wanted to point out, just as I mentioned that, is one of the memories for the old man shows, his wife, who has passed away, and his wife wears the same glasses that Carl wears.
Yes.
Big fucking round glasses. So they're like a sort of a... So he's died and... She's died, rather, and he's gone on without her and sort of like this mirroring of Toon and Carl.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I saw... I don't know if you were implying that was they like there was not a relation
super connected.
There.
I think it was more just like a little like that's the thing.
That's the style of glasses at the time.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
We haven't really spoken about what the memories are in terms of the game.
Yeah. The mechanics of the.
Yeah. Does someone else want to take that?
Sure.
I think you should go for it, Ollie.
Yeah. So as the game progresses, the way you try and change the time of the day. As Kerry said, you jump between characters, and at the beginning you only get to start with one,
the little boy,
and the little kid. You get to play through the kid's day, and then if you played like me, you would do it so that you don't change anything at first.
Yeah,
and the car crash still happens, and then you go back and do it again and figure it out. And then you get other characters as you're going, but throughout this little world are these bubbles that have a picture of the character's head in it.
Yeah.
When you crash into that, it gives you a little picture which is part of a mini story for each of the characters, which is kind of a bit of their backstory, I guess.
Yeah, totally. Like the young boy had a young friend who lived there and then their parents moved away and they went with him.
Yeah.
But he's got his friend's cap.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he got his cap. Yeah. It's, it is just a neat little filler backstory, which is good. Yeah.
Did you go through and collect all of the pieces of the puzzle throughout the game for each person?
All of the, the
all the memories?
Collectibles.
No.
No?
I didn't either.
I was saying to you guys before, I was trying to, and then there was one, because each character can sort of unlock an area for where you need to go and get these bubbles, and I saw where the last one was, and I had forgotten to unlock it for the correct person to go get it, and I was like, I don't want to finish this day and then start the boy's day, go unlock the memory, and then end the day, and then start the day as the other person. It was like a 10-minute process to get this one thing, and I thought I'd have another chance to do it organically, but it turns out that was my last opportunity to do it, so I ended up missing one, which was a shame.
Yeah.
I quite liked them.
Yeah,
I thought they were nice.
So this, because I played it last year, I replayed it again for this. First time I played through, I got all the memories, but this time, YouTube.
Yeah, fair enough.
Shall we do it like we did in the last couple of episodes? So like everyone, we go around and everyone says something about the game that they liked or disliked or they just want to talk about?
Sure.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, yeah. I think the only other thing we need to mention in terms of mechanics is just that it's interesting that you can, like, each character has, like two outcomes they can do, and you've got to figure out how to change the outcome. But it's what makes the game or like the puzzle of the game interesting is trying to figure out how to mix those outcomes to make it happen. Like, you change the boy's day and that changes one thing, but then you've got to change him back in order to be able to change the second thing that happens, which means that the first thing doesn't happen in the first place.
Yeah, that's the part that falls apart for me.
Yeah, you don't like it?
That's the bit that... Yeah, so...
Do you want to go first?
Wait, sure. Why don't we go there? Yeah. Let's just go there.
So, the biggest thing that took me out of the game was that you solve the kid's puzzle first.
Yeah.
And so then the kid does not cause the car accident.
Yeah, because he's playing with the kite instead of knocking the soccer ball out of the road.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Problem solved. But then the next problem comes up with the other woman
leaving
town.
Boxes, yeah.
with the worst packed truck I've ever seen. And no wonder that tipped all over the road. And that causes the car accident.
Yeah.
What she needs to do is tie down her load.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't tip out everywhere. But to do that, you have to go back. The first time I played through, it took me a little while to figure this out because it seems so counterintuitive.
Very counterintuitive. Yep.
You have to go back, unsolve the first puzzle, go back to the second puzzle, solve that one, and then that also resolves the kid stepping onto the road.
Yeah, because she's not worrying about the boxes, she can beep her horn and tell the kid to get off the road and get out of the way of
the oncoming car.
June and Carl.
This was my like big number one issue. Also, it's like. The cutscenes in this game go for quite a while, and you watch them over and over again to the point where I was just on my phone half the time because like I had seen this before a bazillion times, which means like there were some things like the memories and like trying to go back and solve these puzzles and fix them up even though I'd done them before that I just did not want to do and didn't want to go back and collect things because I'd seen them before and I was getting so tired of seeing the same thing over and over and over again.
Totally.
And like that just like this is just what ruined the game for me, I think, because like I didn't want to. I've seen it before.
Yeah. It's a very common complaint. Like forum thread. Is can you skip the cutscenes in Last Days of June?
And also like everything takes a long time to do. So like
walking
anywhere, you can't run as Carl obviously because he's in a wheelchair. Opening all the gates take a long time. They have their own cutscenes. Like doing anything just takes so long. It's also tedious. Like it's just
It's a game that while fairly short for 4 hours, could have been two or maybe three.
And maybe like, three. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to like I literally I could not get through this game without a walkthrough, like of like this kind of stuff. It's like I would never have thought myself to go back and undo the first one to like I don't know. There was like a lot of things that were just like inconsistent and didn't make sense with what we'd already been told.
Yeah,
that I wouldn't have thought about it myself.
I think the reason that. Like, did we all stumble on that first one? Like, surely they don't want us to go back on the first decision.
It took me a little bit to get there.
Yeah, like, I thought, oh, maybe I should take the rope back. And then, like, I have that idea, because they signpost you that idea. They try to make it obvious to you. And it's like, oh, I don't want to do that. Because I think the reason that is because you don't get the option to do the second player's thing until you solve the first player's thing.
Yeah.
So why would you be able to do the second player's thing if you unsolve the first one?
Exactly.
I think that's the main problem there. It's like,
you
would have to relock that door, which means that you can't access it anymore, so what's the point?
Mm.
But in reality, you've unlocked it forever, and that's not very clear.
And also, just on, like, the walkthrough thing again, because everything was so tedious and long, I was too scared to mess it up, because I didn't want to have to go back and fix something that I'd spent 20 minutes watching already to have to do it again.
I think it's because all of the animations sort of go into the feel of the game. It's a very atmospheric sort of town and game and feel and stuff
looks
like
pretty nice.
I think it looks fantastic.
It's
it's really well stylized.
And even though the characters, I guess, isolation are so creepy.
Oh, I'm not super keen on
like
their faces.
Giant bubble heads with indents for
no eyes.
Instead
like,
of eyes.
The first note that I've got here is like, I hate their stupid Simlish voices. Like, I hated it. I hated it so much. I wish they didn't talk like that.
Yeah.
Oh god, don't even. It's like, oh.
It was a little. I found that a little jarring, but I got used to it.
It just like
it was,
the first,
it was unnerving
like,
as fuck.
In the first like 20 minutes of the game, I'm like, I fucking hope this is not all like.
Is
this.
That
like,
just because they don't have mouths? Like,
no, it's just like I just hated it. I don't know why.
I think, as Jeremy mentioned, the hunter's voice, though, was
good.
Was rah. Good. It's like...
I like how he runs and he, like...
Yeah.
And his belly, like, swings back and forth.
He was the best character, in my opinion.
Yeah. Except, what's with the gun? Like, put down the gun! You're in a village!
I know.
That's how he's been raised.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, he's got daddy issues.
Raised badly.
Who was next on their... Does anyone else have a take that they want to... Speak about.
I could say, I don't know, I could say more. I have.
We're going to run in a circle.
Okay.
I think. No, I've spoken. Jeremy's turn.
The music. I thought was pretty good for the most part. Mm. And then at the end, it has like that, the version of the song usually in the car, but like a kind of like a rock ballad-y version.
Yeah, that was the same song that you get in the start. So that's like the...
Yeah.
So when they're leaving, it's sort of like the starting credits song.
Yeah.
I
really liked it.
Excuse me.
Cow! Like, oh, shooting lasers from his face.
Like, I really liked that ending song a lot.
Mm.
Like, I was like, this is like a cool... Like, in a moment that's kind of, you know, sad. And yeah. like it's one of those like kind of heavy realization moments that like... You're not supposed to stop everything, but you're supposed to just... I was supposed to talk about that next, but yeah, like, you're not supposed to stop everything, you're just supposed to change it enough.
Yeah, it's a bit of an inevitable sort of a...
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a really nice orchestration in that song, too, yeah. like, with the guitar and the instrumentation under it. It's really nice.
I was a fan of that song at the end. And the music in general, I thought, was pretty decent. Like, it didn't overstay its welcome, and, you know, while figuring stuff out, it wasn't getting repetitive to the point where I'm like, oh, God, I hate this song.
Yeah.
So, yeah, music in this game is good.
Yep.
Yeah. I think in terms of the concept of the game, I think I actually really like the concept, and I think it's why I kept going through with it. That sort of time travel stuff, I think, is really interesting. In terms of, you know, you sort of saw that you had so many possibilities with these characters, and you got to put them all together in the right way to make the sequence go. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I did, like you were saying before, I found the cutscenes to get really tedious and it was getting really boring. And it was why I didn't end up finding that last speech bubble, because like you were saying, it's like, I don't want to end this day the wrong way so I can go back to the boy to unlock the door to end the day. Like, it was just too much, too long.
How many times do you do it in total? Is it like 9 or something?
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, and yeah, it got a bit much.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they did make some of the things you repeat a bit shorter, but...
Yeah.
Not short enough.
They made, like, the start of everyone's day short.
Yeah. And that was the thing, going back to the boy after you've found it, you can't solve the second one. It starts you off at the point that's like, hey, you've done the setup for this, now you're at the point where you can finish it this way or that way.
Mm.
And so that was helpful, but...
Then you have to watch the ending every time.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that sort of Groundhog Day, Back to the Future sort of stuff, like... I'm a sucker for that.
This was like one of the issues that I had with the themes of the story, right? It sort of leads up to the entire thing. It's like, you can't change fate. Like, you can't change.
Yeah.
She's always going to die. Like, there's nothing you can do. Something is always going to stand in the way.
Yeah. As preposterous as it sounds, this road is somehow the most dangerous place to be. And this side of the car will always be the most damaged.
So, yeah. It's like just how, I guess, like, June is supposed to die.
Yeah.
And she was always going to die. And that's, you just have to sort of, I think the game was sort of trying to push towards, like, Carl is going to have to realize that he's going to have to live with this.
Yeah.
But then it sort of flips itself on its head and says, like, you can't change fate.
Yeah,
you can't totally. Change fate. And I'm like, that just, what are you doing? Like, the inconsistencies with the story are just as inconsistent with the game design. Like, it doesn't, like, this game is just inconsistent and it drives me up the wall.
But do you know the other side of it? The idea that Carl was always dead and the entire thing is about
is about
June dealing with
because you start to hear her like screaming
every time you progress to the next bit. Yeah, it is her drawing, it's her voice, and it does get more and more frantic. And then that's why the shift happens with all the scribbling and that. It's like that's the moment that she's realized.
See, for me, like, I thought that sort of meant maybe I just wasn't looking hard enough, like that. It was June trying to change it herself, or trying to give Carl the message to say,
you can
don't
fix
do this.
This.
You can do.
And I suppose I've noticed that, knowing that, like, because I looked, the first time I played it through, I was like, what just happened? And I looked it up and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
People smarter than me have figured this out.
I didn't do that, and so I have been left confused.
Yeah,
talking about it just now is sort of clarifying it a bit for me. But, like, literally the thing I wrote at the end of all of this, I've got, like, she is so angry. Why did the sky crack open? And then the thing I wrote at the very end was this all in her mind or all in his?
Right.
It's like, whose side of this are we seeing
here? Yeah.
Was he a survivor and then he did change time itself? Or was it all just June trying to figure out what would have happened if things had gone the other way?
I kind of wish that was more clear, because, like, that way of, like, you know, June trying to come to terms with what happened, I think, is a much better story. But I wish that they... that was more clear because like I don't know.
Yeah, I did, like that. I feel like it's open enough that it could be open for interpretation to that, but. Yeah, I like the idea that it's her trying to solve this.
Yeah, it's like much, from it's his much perspective. Nicer, yeah.
It makes sense too.
And I just remembered. So at the end, when you have switched places and you're taking the final car ride, there's the button prompt to tell her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What specifically? I don't know. Like,
tell her that the car's gonna crash.
Yeah. Tell her just like solve this problem. And just the hand reaching out and then pulling away, I'm like,
press the button. Yeah. Just stay in the car. Yeah, just, like stay by the lake for the entire night. Yeah. Just sleep it off.
Just you live there now.
You don't have to drive the car through the rain back home this minute. Yeah. Like just wait a sec.
Nah, something like the tree branch will fall on the car and they'll die.
Yeah. The pier will collapse and they'll drown.
The car will get washed into the ocean.
It'll make the lake water rise so that it'll just drown.
Can't change fate.
Yeah. There's a storm of just that brews over the ocean and piranhas just get thrown into the car.
Yeah. Who has something next that they want to
play? I think this game, I really like the start and I quite like the end.
Yeah.
It's such a shame to me the middle was the weakest part. Like there was too much video game in this story.
It was very video game,
like,
wasn't
the
it?
The two things are like, yeah, the solving that problem backwards and then also the bird in the tree with the
fucking hell. Fucking hell. Dude, so like I had to look that up and even with the walkthrough I got stuck.
Right.
Like
yeah, right.
You know at the end where you've got to try and get it to the nest and then those five trees?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've got to try, you have to literally get it in the right order.
Yeah.
To be able to do it. So the bird will circle through the one unless it starts at one and you put the dog there and then like it's like very specific and it would only work if you did it right the first time.
That's funny. Because I managed to happened to guess it right the first time, so I didn't run into that problem.
But there was no, you as a player don't know that, right? And you once you get stuck, there's no telling, like which way it's gonna go
or how to
move it on.
It was
so you're literally just moving the dog from every tree to every tree, trying to figure out which one is the right tree.
Oh my goodness!
But you actually have to. I think you have to do it. It has to go from two trees first, so like even then it's like fucking awful.
Yeah. First time through I was exactly the same. Yeah. I was like, there's no reason to this. Yeah.
And once again, like things like that, just like this is the worst and I don't want to play this game.
Yeah. It was pretty, I was very glad that you never had to do the bird sequence again once you got the hunter going.
Except that they made it look like you did.
At the start, that's like, right. You do the first one and then it fades out.
I've got, and one of my notes here is, you have to do the tree bird thing again. It's like, no you don't.
Yeah. It's like... yeah.
And then, alright, more specific notes here.
Let's go.
That bird.
Yes.
There's two nests it has. Really? One where it takes the metal.
Oh, you're right.
Over the road, which is why the rock falls down. And, but then one with the bird, baby birds in it.
Yeah.
And then also, in the, once you've solved it, the hunter builds a bird's, like a birdhouse for these birds, and then moves the nest into this. Like, what? Don't do that.
He adopts this family of birds.
There's so many of like those kind of things in the story, in the world, that just don't make sense. Like, why did they build gates twice the size of themselves? Like,
super security.
Yeah.
I
keep old men with mustaches and guns out,
and wheelchair people out.
Yeah, there was just like stuff like that just littered around. It's like the world didn't feel like it was theirs because of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
How did the woman pack the truck apart from one box?
Yeah.
If when she picked up the last box, there was all these leaves in the way and she couldn't walk past them.
Why can't she walk past them?
Like, yeah.
She's gonna make slip. Sense, but it doesn't make sense.
She's gonna slip every time.
On dry leaves.
I did rake up every leaf pile I could
I did
see.
Too. I thought I'd get something for it.
You got the satisfaction.
I guess so. I didn't even get an achievement.
No. There's two achievements I didn't get, and they're just four things that I looked up afterwards and thought, oh, yeah, all right, that's a specific thing that
very
I didn't
specific,
do.
Specific, yeah.
You
go.
There was a scene close to the end where you have to walk into the holographic characters to make them physical and then do that in the right order.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh my god. If I didn't have the walkthrough, like.
Oh, really?
So, like, there's literally no way to do it except for trial and error.
Yes.
And to do that, you have to watch the same fucking cutscene over and over and over again.
Yes.
Like,
and
awful.
also listen to her scream, because that's when she's really angry.
And there's literally, the game doesn't give you anything.
Oh, like really, like emotive.
It's really real, and I did not enjoy the scream every time,
like the thing, the cracks in the earth, like that was good. But like, there's literally no way. The game doesn't give you enough hints to be able to do it like the second time, or maybe even like the first time. Like, there's no hints in the way to do it. You have to watch that cutscene multiple times.
I did it like two or three times. I just went up to everyone and changed them once, and I was like, oh, so she needs to get there faster by about 4 seconds, and he needs to be busy, and the hunter needs to have his toy gun. But then he wakes up anyway for some reason. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny.
It got me.
Yeah.
This game just got me in the bad way.
Got you good.
In the bad sense of that word.
Like, and I think a lot of the stuff obviously ties into the idea of Carl being desperate enough to go through all of this stuff. And I, you know, like, keep going through everything to make every single change, to try everything available to change fate.
Mm.
But I feel like it doesn't pull it off enough that I felt like, oh, thank God, I did it. At the end, I'm just like, go! Like, just get it, like, just get it done. Like, there was no, like, oh, I'm so glad I tried everything that I finally managed to save June or whatever.
Yeah.
It was just like, okay, I did it. What's the next step?
Yeah.
There was, it got tiresome fairly quickly.
Yeah,
I think more than anything.
I think, like you were saying,
Just before that, I just wanted, like, I like the end a lot. And I really, really appreciated the ending, but holy shit, to get there, I would never want to do it again.
Yeah, right.
My computer was acting up, and so the game crashed on me maybe like 3 or 4 times.
Oh, no.
And like would barely like open. I had to like restart my computer a bunch of times for it to actually load. So like that mixed in with watching the cutscenes over and over again, knowing that I have to get to a load screen, my game's probably gonna crash.
No wonder you're
and
so
it's
frustrated.
And it's not gonna save my fucking progress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was not good. I did not have a good time.
When did you play through it?
Last night.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So that's why I'm still so like mad about
it. It's fresh.
I'm still the ire is still stoked.
Yeah, I played it last week, and you, Jeremy, you played through it. Did you play through it for last week as well? What did you play through?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I think something we touched on before, their voice performances, especially towards the end when Carl is getting so angry and really upset, like his like voice, the voice performance and the animating for it, it really was quite emotional, and I thought it was showing a good, not good, but it was a very evocative performance of the toll that, like, the emotional toll that something like this can take on you.
Yeah.
And how, even though he's desperate for this change to happen and desperate to find some way to do it, it's really starting to mess with him. I thought it was a very, not in-depth, but a sort of a well-explored aspect of this sort of tragedy scenario.
Yeah.
It's like how someone actually tries to deal with this horrible circumstance. I was glad they went to that nth degree to make him so frustrated and so angry. And the same thing with June when you start to hear her scream, even though it was very confusing.
Yeah, it's not just in the voices as well. Like, I've noted down, as the game progresses, he just gets more and more defeated in his posture. And he's just sitting,
like,
sitting in the wheelchair. Right? Yeah, he's just barely able to sit up by the end.
Yeah.
It reminded me a little bit of Up.
Oh, yeah.
At the beginning. Like, just sort of, like, the setting of it.
I can kind of see that.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, the animation, especially when Carl wakes up from the dreams, and it's, like, storming or whatever, it was very, like, it was just really emotive. Like, it was, like, totally, they did a little, like, they did a lot with a little. But, yeah, a lot of the dialogue was, like, fun, I guess. Like, I was kind of enjoying it in moments when I, like, shouldn't be, because it was, like, sad, but I like the stupid, like, mumbling, and I found it, like, funny a lot of the time.
Oh my god.
And I'm like, this man's, like, yeah. Like, I'm like, this man's wife has just died, and he's like, I'm like, oh, that's hilarious.
You're right, Carl.
I want to, like, speaking of, like, the voice acting and the music and the way they did the ending, I think, like, there were, like, I wasn't a huge fan of the game. Like, I still fucking cried at the end. Because, yeah. Like,
oh, when she hugs her kid.
Oh,
no, yeah. Not that. What got me is walking to the car and, like,
right.
And also saying goodbye as well. Like, when they're together and, like, I think Carl is in grey and she's in the present. Like that fucking got me.
Yep.
But which I think is like not enjoying like a big part of this game, and then to still have that emotional effect at the end. I think they did that very well.
What's in the present? Why is the old man wrapping the present?
No, it's because he's made something. Yeah, no, but you're right. It's like this is hey, I'm pregnant again.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna have a baby. But why is the granddad?
Yeah, when did the granddad give it?
He was the one who wrapped the present and was taking it over.
He's actually the father.
Maybe.
Oh my god!
Happy birthday, Carl.
Yeah.
Well, not your birthday.
Maybe passing on.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Passing on a life, passing on, I don't know.
Yeah, because I would have thought that, like, maybe it's the pregnancy test that's positive or something like that. Except the granddad's wrapping the present. Like, what the fuck?
I just interpreted that as, like, this is a 5-6 person village, and so everybody is so intertwined with each other's lives that
they're re-gifting presents again.
She's told this guy, hey,
yeah,
I want to make this special. Can you make me, I don't know,
that makes
a
sense.
Baby thing,
yeah.
And then I'm going to give that to Carl
mm-hmm.
to reveal this pregnancy.
That's like, you have to add so much to that story to make it work.
Yeah.
But like... Yeah, like,
I saw it as more of like a next stage sort of analogy, like this is what comes next.
Right.
Maybe it's like moving on, the physical embodiment of moving on. I don't know.
Oh god, stuff like this just it makes me feel dumb.
Maybe that
moving
does
on
come
in
back
the sense
to
that June knew she was gonna die, so she gave he is moving on when I'm about to die. Get ready, kid.
No. the old guy knew.
Yeah, buckle up.
Maybe
it's a picture of your tombstone. All right, let's go to the park.
Maybe the old man is like, maybe the glasses similarity. Maybe they are Carl's parents.
Maybe.
And sure, it's coming through there.
Maybe it is Carl.
I had that thought when I was playing it.
Yeah, I did, but there wasn't really anything back to that.
No.
I was so upset when Carl didn't open the present at the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, me
like,
too.
It started raining. Like,
take
quick,
a sec, man.
Get to the car. Let's drive home. No, open the present. Open the present. Open the present.
Open the present. In the present. In the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just sit in the car. Like, whenever you're at those things, it's like, whenever I'm out and like it starts to rain or it's like freaking cold and it's like, all right, let's get in the car. This is no longer fun to be outside. Like from up a mountain or whatever. And you get in the car. You sit there for 5 minutes. You re-acclimatize. You get your hands warm. You get your clothes dry.
We must get home right now.
It's like, present.
Oh, man, it's raining now. Time to get home as fast as possible. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? There's something else that just came to my mind. When I first played the game, you know when you play as Carl and you got to go get the jacket from the car?
Yeah.
And you can, like, pick up the flowers on the way.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, I picked up the flowers and stuff like that. But there's this filter that's on the game all the time. And it's this sort of, like, blur effect that happens whenever the visuals get more than, like, 10 meters past the character.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out whether that was an effect because Carl had glasses on or not. And I was like, oh, now we're playing as someone else when we were playing as the kid. And I was like, oh, I'm not noticing it as much here, but that's because the town isn't open and goes forever and ever.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe everyone's blind. Or maybe no one has eyes. Like, so I couldn't figure out whether it was a purposeful, like, Carl can't see.
Carl's just really unfit, and so as he was walking up the hill, he got really sweaty, and the glasses the glasses fogged up.
I thought you were gonna say his heart started beating so fast that his vision started like pulsing.
Got a heat stroke.
When you did go to get the jacket from the car, did anybody else go to the wrong side first?
Yep.
And then he's like,
reach across.
No, I had this written down. I like that one. My two first thoughts were hate the voices and it seems a bit convoluted to have to go around the other side of the car.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like that was the first warning. Like, this game is going to be tedious.
It kind of encapsulates a lot of what you have to do with the mechanics. You have to watch the 10-second animation of him not doing it right for you to just go around the car and do it right, the right way.
Yeah, my note is, can't reach across the car seats. Bit of a weenie. one thing I don't think we've mentioned yet is just how I really liked any time there was a button prompt to interact with a painting or pick something up or anything, it wasn't just interact. It often was just a word that described what you're doing. Like when...
Yeah. I've got a couple of those written down here. Yeah.
When June first gets the present, she goes to she looks around the house for somewhere to place it to present it before she decides to go to the lake.
Yeah.
And when you find somewhere, the button prompt is just here with a question mark.
Mm. Yeah.
And she sets it down, arranges it, and decides it's not the best.
Just a quick aside. Did you do that for, like, all the places and then took Carl to all the places that she didn't put it, with, but she'd arranged, like, all the love hearts? And you'd walk up and you'd be like, oh!
Yeah,
single time, too.
yeah, I think I did not all of them, but I did enough this time and last time that I popped the achievement up.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, Carl walking past the love heart of lollies.
Yeah.
It's like, oh! I thought that was sweet.
Yeah. I think the one that I noticed was, with the paintings, when you found the portrait of the different people, it was like, save her.
Mm.
But then further on, it became save her with a question mark at the end. And it was stuff like that that really, like, I looked at that, I was like, fuck, that's really heavy. That's really, like, poignant. I really appreciated that they did change those things.
Yeah.
Especially because thinking about it now, when you were talking about how some things weren't clear, they didn't use any language except for those prompts.
Mm. But it wasn't so much clear in terms of language as, like, clear in terms of, level design.
Yes, no, design. You're right. They could have made that different. Yeah. Like, different coloured fruit or different size fruit or something.
Yeah,
there's
something.
A key, there's a puzzle
like, yeah,
key
some,
over
some sort
somewhere
of
else.
Something in the animation that would give you something else.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but they did a really good job of communicating as much as they did with the very limited amount of actual written word language that they had, and spoken word language.
I brought it up earlier, but the neighbour and her crush on Carl.
Yes.
Completely unnecessary.
Yes.
Does not add anything to the story.
Not really,
they could have
except
had
that
something
she's leaving.
Else, but they could anything else, like literally anything else for
she
her
could
to leave.
Could have just been leaving.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like there.
Also,
was...
Carl's not even that attractive. Like, like what do you see in
he's
him?
Just an egghead.
Yeah.
And
he's a I thought you said you're an egghead.
No, literally, I said.
Oh, okay.
His head is an egg.
Yes. Okay, sorry.
Carry you, egghead.
Yeah.
And it was just, just completely unnecessary. That did not add anything to the story, and it was just like...
It's a bit tropey, hey.
Yeah.
Like,
why? Why did you do this? I guess it's a French studio, though.
And
Italian.
Italian. The Europeans love... Love stories.
They love love.
Love.
Her memories. I don't know if you found her little story.
I do. I don't think I actually watched any of them.
That was the one I didn't complete.
So, it kind of didn't add anything. Like it showed when she. It showed that those two, Carl and neighbor, had known each other since they were kids, and she had always had a crush on him.
Yeah.
But then the pictures just kind of went on. Where she was sad that Carl got married to someone else, she became friends with Carl's wife, and then she decided to leave the town. There was nothing more.
It's another. I can't remember what the trope's called. But it happens a lot in games where a man will pit two women against each other.
Oh, really? Right.
And will come in come between it, and like it's part of the what's it called? That test that.
Oh, the Bechdel
test. So, like. Two women interact that's not about a man.
Yeah.
And like this
bad
for that. It's just a shame.
Yeah, I agree. When you look at it like that, it's like I kinda ran out of ideas, didn't they? They just needed someone driving their truck down the road that you could fiddle with. Well.
What are you doing, Kerry?
I might cut that out. I got most of my things.
Yeah, that's like I don't have a whole lot of other thoughts about.
I was super confused at the end. Like just looking at my notes, I've got why did the sky crack open?
I liked the part where the sky got yellow or whatever, and you go up and you see, well, the sky didn't get yellow. Well, it was like you're basically going up to heaven. to see.
Just the world was collapsing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that part. It looked nice.
Yeah, see, that's, I think that's the thing that is the represents June. It's like it shows it's actually June because as much as
she's the one with the control over the world,
and like this is her breaking point where literally the world is breaking apart now.
What made me mad also about that scene when the ground is cracking, you have to try and go into Carl's house like 4 times before it can, like before, so like you can go in the first time and it's like she'll die, and then you go the second time and she'll stop you a little bit, and you go around it and she'll die. You go around a third time and it still breaks and she'll die.
And then
like,
you got to walk around the whole village.
Well, it's like,
and then all the houses start crumbling away.
From that, you sort of think like, oh, well, I'm not going to go in there again because the same thing's going to happen. Mm. And then you fucking actually have to go in there again.
It's to nail in the point.
Once again, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think
it's pretty well have it in by that point, though.
The idea there is like, I feel like it's in story terms, it's nailing the frustration. Like, you can change this. No, you can't change this. What if I just change this? You can't change this. But then in implementation, it's just... It's got that meta layer of like, oh, maybe this game wants me to do something else?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. Oh, maybe it does, though? Oh, no, it doesn't.
There was one thing that I thought was really clever, which was at the very start, the very first thing you're doing with the boy, where you've got the soccer ball, you come out the front gate... and the dog's there, and you know that the boy just wants to play because you've had that scene of him talking to pretty much everyone in the village and they're all like, hey, fuck off.
Yeah, I've got, where is it? Sad, no one will play with me, piano.
Oh, that's good. But I thought it was really clever that they get you to want the boy to play, and so you're like, yeah, I'll go play with the dog.
Mm.
And that's the thing that gets the ball to go on the road in the first place.
Yeah.
That doesn't really happen with the rest of the things because it becomes more about getting the right sequence to go. But it was interesting how they drive you in the direction of making the event happen in the first place again.
Mm.
To let you know that you can get it wrong or that's part of the system. You can choose to do one way or the other.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really good bit of design.
I suppose there's anything else, June?
No, I was just going to say, would you recommend this game to someone else?
I would, with a disclaimer.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. An interesting story. Not the best implementation. Maybe do it with someone else.
Yeah, either do it with someone or maybe, like, even a YouTube watch.
Yeah.
With someone else doing it. Yeah. Although that might get annoying if they're really bad at the puzzles.
So watch this game, but don't play this game.
I mean...
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, like, I didn't get a whole lot out of the gameplay. Like... Not one of those like it's not one of those like, oh, this would be better as a movie sort of things, but like the gameplay I was like, all right.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm a sucker for that sort of concept of going back and seeing what if. So that was enough to pull me through to want to do each of the puzzles. So I didn't mind as much, but
is there a game that takes that concept as well? Like can you think of anything that does Groundhog Day?
I'm 100% positive there is something like that, but off the top of my head, I'm not sure.
Because I can't think of... Oh, Life is Strange, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, sort of. Yeah, no, I remember thinking that during when I was playing it. That's...
And they do it better.
There's no game version of Edge of Tomorrow. Or whatever the anime version
of that. Repeat.
Unless it's just any first-person shooter where you die and go back to a checkpoint.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, but that one's very much like... You know, like, it's about memorizing literally everything to the point where you're getting through... Like, progression by memory, as speed opposed running. To... Yeah, yeah.
Like a Playdead game, like Limbo or Inside, where it's like, you got to figure out the puzzle a lot of the times by getting it wrong and dying.
Yeah, but, I mean, I suppose that's a lot of games, but that's...
Yeah, like, I understand what you're saying, though. There's nothing... Yeah.
The one thing it makes me think of is Prince of Persia Sands of Time, where when you die, the prince says, no, that's not right. Let's start again.
Is that because he's telling a story?
Yeah, because the start of the game, it's him telling a story to the princess about what happened prior. And so when you die, he's like, wait, no, hang on, that's not right.
I didn't accidentally jump off a cliff.
Oh no, here I am now. I didn't get stabbed by a sand monster for the 15th time. Yeah. Okay, yeah,
Would you recommend this game?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I'm probably not strongly, but I would if you're looking for a... a neat little narrative thing to
do. But there's so many better ones. Like, I would much rather spend the 3 hours of my life playing a better game.
What, like Edith Finch or something?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, no, fair enough. Like, I'm glad I played it, but...
Why would you recommend this over something else?
The impact of the end of the story...
was a lot.
Is really good.
I
don't think the build-up and, like, the 3+ hours that I spent getting there was worth it.
Yeah, it's the getting there that's the problem.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it. I think... I'm glad I played it, but I think I would... I think if someone said, oh, do you think I should play this? I'd be like, yeah. Like, that's kind of it.
It's definitely one of those... it's not about the journey, it's about the destination sort of games.
Try not to think about the journey.
Yeah.
Cool.
Great. Well, thank you for listening. Next month, we will be playing Event Zero.
Yes. Which is...
this one's been on our list for a while, and we finally...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our list is very long.
It is very long. It's basically a list of every popular game that came out in the last, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
You
want to do a quick pitch of Event Zero? Have you played it, or have you
no,
just...
No, I haven't played it. It's been on my wish list since it fucking came out.
Right. What's a quick pitch of it?
I haven't watched the trailer in a long time, but...
I think
You're an adventurer in space, and you find this ship that has an AI on it.
Yeah.
And you talk to the AI through your physical keyboard, and you can, like, talk to it and type and say stuff, and it will talk back to you, and you could discover something through that. Like, yeah, I'm not entirely sure.
It's like chatbot, except it's a space station.
Yeah,
it's
like Tacoma chatbot. I'm excited to physically be able to interact with that.
Apparently, it's very good.
Yeah,
there's a video that Mark Brown has done for Game Maker's Toolkit on it. But I haven't watched it because I haven't played the game yet, and I'll be able to watch it once I play the game.
Yeah,
it's giving me that Tacoma vibes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I might have a similar story. It's like finding out what happened on the ship.
Yeah.
All right. Classic space.
Yeah. Which is interesting because my other pick was Soma, which is
Which
is also the same.
Classic
kind of
space.
Idea.
And another one was also Tacoma. So yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, Ollie, thanks for coming.
Thank you for coming on.
Oh,
the episode.
You're welcome. Thanks
Sorry,
for chatting
this is
with
a,
me.
A little short baby. Maybe that's your fault. You chose it.
Yeah.
We could all get it done, have a good talk about the whole thing.
Yeah, we've also tried in the past to do something like Hollow Knight, or, Pyre was a struggle, but we all got it done.
I got through Hollow Knight. I got through Pyre that morning, and I didn't sleep until we recorded after that.
Yeah, oh, and Catherine, like, that was when you and I were both moving, and
yeah.
I grinded Catherine out for, like, all of the Tuesday, like, from, like, 11 till, like, 3 a.m.
Yeah.
11 a.m. to 3 a.m. the next day, and then we came here and recorded.
Yeah,
I'm still playing Hollow Knight.
Yeah, Hollow Knight's good. I finished it eventually.
I'm not.
Yeah, that's fine. I can understand that.
Cool.
Thank you all for listening. Make sure to go to minimap.com.au to see what we write about occasionally. Carrie's putting out an article about Rockstar Games very soon.
Mm-hmm. It's funny.
Oh.
That's what someone else has said. Not just me, I promise.
You got to give that this.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that sounds sarcastic.
It's funny.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
Okay.
You got to put that as the tag for the article, too. Read this, it's funny.
Read this, it's funny. I made a good article.
Ollie, where can they find you on Twitter?
On Twitter, I am VollyV, which is VOLLIEV.
And June, where can they find you?
June is so JUN_ESS.
Kerry, where can they find you?
My Twitter handle is at KJPalmer_24.
You can find me at Obi-Wan-Jez, Obiwan, like the Star Wars. Oh, I don't even remember my fucking ending tag anymore.
Obi-Wan, like the Star Wars, Jez, like me.
Something like that. It's been a while.
Jez, like me.
Yeah.
Jez, like me.
You can follow us on Twitter at GameSpoilersPod. You can email us at GameSpoilersPod@gmail.com. You can also go to gamespoilers.com to look at our other episodes. We are also on every other podcasting service, including Spotify. We also have another podcast called The Minimapcast, which is a more freeform podcast where we talk about games, I guess.
Just the last one that we've done, we just talked about Red Dead and the bad Smash Brothers Direct and Diablo and... Yep. Something else as well.
PAX.
Oh, PAX.
And PAX.
International Games Week. So, yeah.
Should we plug our music?
Yeah. Thank you.
What music? I don't know music.
Huh?
What music?
There's podcast music.
Oh, in the podcast. Yeah. I thought you were making music.
Oh, no.
Make music.
Thank you, Brad, for doing
it. Thank you, Francis, for his track. He's Potato Bake on SoundCloud.
Potato Bake on SoundCloud.
Yeah, and there's a link to the song in the description.
Yeah,
thanks,
it's all in the description. Thank you so much, Brad.
Bradles36 on Twitter.
Yeah. Ollie, where can they find whatever else you do?
At volleyv.com. That's the best spot for it. It's got my work on there, stuff I've done.
Mm. Ollie's done a cool
game where he yells about a roller coaster.
Oh, yeah, that one. Uh-huh. Which has got a terrible name, but, can't think of anything else.
What's it called?
It's not terrible.
It's called Holler Coaster.
That's a great name.
It is a great name if you try not to think too much about its similarities
to what you say it like that, it's great.
Did you ever end up pushing the game about the car and the Game Boy? Well, that was you, right?
That was me, and no, that's still in progress on my computer.
Okay, you should finish that.
Okay.
I'll go back to that. I've got to finish Bryant the Giant. I've got to finish so many things.
the game I was thinking of is the Google Cardboard one you did.
Mm-hmm.
The sort of spooky horror game where you've got to keep the hands away from your toys.
If you've got an Android device, check it out.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much everything we usually plug.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Thank if you have any thoughts on The Last Day of June that you want to share with us, feel free to tweet at GameSpoilersPod and one or all of us will see it and we'll have a conversation about it.
Tweet at us, email us, but make sure you do it in the way that they could talk in the game so I can actually understand it, please. Yeah, just like that, please. Thank you. Yeah, thank you all for listening. Join us next week for Event Zero. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.